This lovely Christmas hymn comes from a 2-CD set titled Lutheran Service Book Hymns and Services. We'll send you this resource of 26 hymns for any sized year-end donation to Issues Etc. You can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and mail it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible online contribution at issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support at the end of 2012.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You probably heard it, or if you haven't heard it, maybe you've seen one of those warnings on Facebook about how Christians really ought to not celebrate Christmas. Or if they want to celebrate the birth of Christ, that's fine and good, but they shouldn't do it on December 25th because that is historically a pagan holiday celebrating not the birth of Jesus, but celebrating the death or the birth of light or some pagan god, and Christians want nothing to do with that. Well, maybe the impulse behind that is well-meaning, but is there any history, any truth behind that? Joining us to talk about a history of the Christmas celebration, Pastor Joseph Abrahamson. He's pastor of four congregations in northwestern Minnesota called Clearwater Lutheran Parish, and he's author of a column for Steadfast Lutherans titled Redeeming Holy Days from Pagan Lies. Pastor Abrahamson, welcome back.
Good to be back.
Is there any history, actual history, connecting the Christian celebration of Christmas with pagan celebrations, past or present?
Well, in a way to answer that, I could say yes, because there's a lot of it that takes place after the fact that Christians had started celebrating Christmas on December 25th. The solstice was set by Julius Caesar's men when he arranged his calendar so that the solstice would fall on the 25th of December to simplify their calendar, because previously the Romans had had quite a wide variety of calendars and no uniform dates. But as far as the festival of Saturnalia or the Brumalia and that, there's a wide variety of dates that those were celebrated throughout the year that are testified by the early calendars. And the earliest link that we have from Christians saying that the Saturnalia and the Christmas festival are considered on the same date actually comes from the 6th century AD rather than earlier. And the earliest mention that we have of Christians celebrating the birth of Christ on December 25th comes from the late 2nd century.
So the date of Christmas, as set by the church, far predates any pagan celebration set on the 25th of December.
It predates the association of the two. Now, there may have been pagan festivals that were celebrated at the winter solstice in Rome or elsewhere, but it wasn't an issue for when the church chose to set the date on December 25th. It had done that with response to their belief that the creation took place in spring, that Jesus' conception was in the spring, and 9 months later his birth would occur. That ties together also with the Passover festival as part of their calculations based on the Old Testament.
So in other words, they were working, the earliest Christians in their date setting, were working from the incarnation, the annunciation of Jesus' birth, in order to figure out the date of his birth.
Yes, and it shouldn't make it sound like everybody at the same time agreed that December 25th was a day. If you go back through the ancient documents, there's quite a few different dates that were chosen in almost every month of the year, very early. But based on the Passover cycle and the Easter cycle, December 25th was pretty widely agreed on in North Africa, in the Near East, and in Southern Europe by the time the year 200 rolled around.
So where do we get these warnings that we often hear, we probably have here in the United States heard them for decades, that Christians ought to avoid December 25th as a day for celebrating Christ's birth?
Probably the biggest source is the Puritans back in the 1600s. they were so very anti-Roman Catholic that they wanted to do with any kind of iconography, any ritual, any day of celebration. When they passed laws in England in the early 1600s outlawing Christmas, outlawing Easter, outlawing any celebration like that, the English decided that they didn't want them anymore, and so they expelled them. And some of them came to America, and they had laws against Christmas here in the where they settled. And at that time also, you know, if somebody tried to celebrate it, they would arrest them, sometimes have them pilloried. But that didn't keep, they didn't maintain the popularity of their position in England or in Europe, and then later on in the United States, they lost their popularity with that position as well.
So are you saying that the earliest Christian aversion to the 25th of December is really anti-Catholic reaction?
Yes. Yeah, that's the main issue. Increase Mather in the United States, or, well, before the United States, in America, was the first to write a large volume on it in our country or in our continent, and tried to use the church fathers as a source to prove that no good Christian would ever celebrate such a day. They didn't even like the idea of having the days of the week named after the sun or Saturn or Odin or Thor, and so they tried to revert to using the number of the days as is found in the days of creation.
Okay, you mentioned misusing the church fathers, and you've actually cataloged a few instances of this. If you could just kind of walk us through a couple examples of where those who wanted to discourage Christians from the celebration of Christ's birth on the 25th, well, were either misreading or misinterpreting those church fathers. Give us just a couple examples.
Well, one of the earliest ones that's quoted is a letter that had been attributed to Cyprian for a while. Now it's no longer believe that Cyprian wrote it. And this letter dates from about 243 A.D. The quotation that's usually used is, "Oh, how wonderfully acted Providence that on that day in which the Son was born, Christ should be born." But actually, when you go into the Latin, it doesn't say the Son was born. It says the Son was made. And there's a little ellipsis there, some words that were left out. What the text actually says is, "Oh, splendid and divine providence of the Lord, that on the day, even that very day on which the Son was made, 28th of March, a Wednesday, Christ should be born. For this reason, Malachi the prophet, speaking about him to the people, fittingly said, 'Unto you the Son of Righteousness shall arise, and healing in his wings.'" And the issue there is that Christ's nativity is on a Wednesday, according to this document. Now, notice also this is putting his birth in March rather than in December. Like I said, they had different dates that they had chosen, but this quotation doesn't have anything to do with the pagan festival or tying it together with the winter solstice. It's the wrong time of the year, and the text itself says that it's a quotation from Malachi, and it was the day of creation that God created the sun, moon, and stars.
So it doesn't speak against December 25th in any way, does it?
No, it doesn't at all. It doesn't tie it together with pagan festivals, none of that sort. That's later on you had Tertullian of Carthage, who is often quoted as speaking against the worship of the sun on Christmas, but actually his quotation is against the Romans, who were accusing the Christians of worshiping wood because we had crosses, and of worshiping the sun because we worshiped on Sunday, the day of the resurrection. And so Tertullian rejects their argument, saying that it doesn't matter which day we would worship on, we choose Sunday because that's the day that Christ arose.
The odd thing about this, Pastor Abrahamson, and speak to this if you would, is that Christians who are leery of December 25th as a celebration for Christ's birth often have allies in neo-pagans who also want to claim either that day or, more generally, this time of the year around the 21st of December, the solstice, as their territory, their property. How would you describe that?
Well, I think it's one of the ironies that we find in the Christian church that the world is set against us, and it will use anything that it can to try to distort the Christian truth and to undermine the Christian practice. And one of the things that they have done is on liturgical days, they try to attribute these to other motives, other reasons, so that they can say, look, your faith isn't true. Look, it's not genuine. They use this term, pre-Christian, when they talk about things like mistletoe or the Yule log or various other aspects of the Christian celebration of Christmas. And when you use the term pre-Christian, it can mean two different things. It can mean before Christianity came to an area, like the 13th century, or it can mean before Jesus Christ. The pagans tend to emphasize the before Jesus Christ, before Christianity. And one of the important things that we have to remember is that Christianity dates back to Genesis 3:15. It goes back to the fall.
So what are you saying there about how Christians ought to regard pagan claims on this time of the year?
Well, pagan claims about any of the holidays that we have or their own heritage are very new claims. The orders of the Wiccans don't come until the 1800s. Neopaganism itself is a 20th century invention. Druidism comes from the 1700s, and they don't have ancient texts to base anything on. In fact, if you look at some of the newer encyclopedias of witchcraft or Wicca and paganism, they'll freely admit that they're a creative religion. And they've tied their calendar, the wheel of the year, they call it, to the solar year. So many of the days that had, in as far back as you can go, might have been lunar holidays are now tied to a certain day of the year. And since they're pagans and paganism is old in their logic, it must predate Christianity. And they use this big anachronistic argument to try to undermine Christian holidays.
With all of that said, with only about a minute here, Pastor Abrahamson, has the church ever said that Christians must celebrate Christ's birth on the 25th of December? Only a minute, less than a minute.
I haven't come across a document that says it must, except when you talk about like canonical orders and whether or not in the Roman Catholic Church a day is a day of obligation. But that's a denominational issue and not an issue of the church as the whole. There have been times in the church history, but more recent, that days have been days of obligation. As far as whether or not we have to say that Christ was born on the December 25th, no, not necessarily.
Pastor Joseph Abrahamson is pastor of four congregations in northwestern Minnesota called Clearwater Lutheran Parish and author of a column for Steadfast Lutherans titled Redeeming Holy Days from Pagan Lies. You can read his columns on the history of a Christmas celebration at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. We'll be right back. Are you looking for Christ-centered, cross-focused Christmas gifts for your young children, grandchildren, or godchildren? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is a children's book titled O Holy Night. This children's resource costs less than $2, plus shipping and handling. O Holy Night is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. O Holy Night, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Think big screens belong in the movie theater, not at church? Think garage bands should stay in the garage, not be jamming in front of the altar? Hey, we do too. Come join us at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, for services that are reverent and relevant, vibrant and traditional. Divine service on Saturday at 6 p.m., on Sunday morning at 7:45 and 10, with Sunday school and Bible class in between at 9. Join us. Not a big screen or garage band in sight. Promise.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Well, Emily has completed 36 hours at Sylvan Learning Center. Her reading comprehension has improved almost 3 grade levels, and she's gone up more than a grade level in math. Not only have her academic skills improved, we've also noticed an increase in Emily's confidence. Sylvan Learning Center has 2 Metro East locations, Edwardsville 618-656-0500, Shiloh 618-628-0018, and one in Creve Coeur 314-997-3035. Sylvan Learning.